Great job. Good singing. All right, we'll go and dismiss the nursery and everybody else sit with a responsible adult. And get into the message this morning that God's given us. I'm thankful these kids are up here singing the B-I-B-L-E. And we need them to know how important the Word of God is. And we ourselves need to know how important the Word of God is. Charles Spurgeon said, if you want to know God, you must know His Word. Amen. That's the only way we can really know who He is if we know His Word. And I'm thankful that we have the Word of God this morning. I don't know if you believe that this morning, that you're holding the perfect and inerrant Word of God, but I do. The Bible said He will preserve His Word from this generation forever. And the Bible says in Matthew 5:18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And it ain't all fulfilled yet, amen? And I believe that everything's there, every jot, every tittle is there on purpose, and that's there for a reason. And so I'm thankful to see these kids up here holding up the Word of God. Take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, I know that we begin each of the messages I've been preaching on this series on spiritual warfare. And we've been looking at the enemy for a few weeks, and we're gonna move along here this morning and look at one more point with this. And I'm eventually getting to the spiritual warfare part of the body of armor. But before we get there, we need to understand who the enemy is. We need to understand what the fight is, and realize why we have to put on the body of armor, the Christian's armor every day, the armor of God every single day. And that's something that we all need to take heed of. And Paul warned us over there in the book of Corinthians about Eve being deceived from the devil. We're not ignorant of his devices, and through his subtlety, he deceived Eve. And so we've been looking at that for a few weeks. We looked at Satan's story when we started off. We looked at his subverting, and we looked at his seduction. And this morning, for a few minutes, I want to look at his subtlety. So Genesis chapter number 2, if you're there. One more time, say amen while I get a drink of water.
Amen.
Amen. All right, Genesis chapter 2, verse number 16. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 16. The Bible says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now look with me in chapter 3, verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of it? You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Brother Jeff, will you stand and pray for this message this morning?
Father God, we just come to you this morning. Thank you for your precious holy word. Thank you for everybody that's here this morning, God. It's a serious message Brother Andrew is going to preach about the devil, God. He is subtle. He is crafty, God. He's everything that we despise, everything that we hate. Antichrist, God, I pray you just bless and give unction and liberty and clarity, and just bless this message to our hearts. Help us to see the seriousness of it. Help us to fall in love with you, afresh and anew today, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. George Whitfield said, we must expect to be tempted by Satan in some degree or another all of our lives. Because this life is a continual warfare. We must never expect to have rest from our spiritual adversary, the devil, or to say our combat with him is finished. Our fight with the evil one will continue until we bow our heads and our spirit is removed from our body and is brought into the presence of our dear, precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Our fight with the devil will not end until we get to heaven. Now, I'm thankful today, as we looked at Satan's story several weeks ago, that the Lord Jesus Christ descended into hell and He took the keys of death and hell from the devil. He defeated him right there. Amen? He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And I'm thankful for that. But as a child of God, your soul is saved and the devil can't have it. But he wants your mind and your body, as we've talked about week to week, each week, looking at this thing. And the devil is not going to stop until he gets what he wants. And he can't have your soul, we understand that.
But if he can get your body and your mind, he can get your marriage, and he can get your children, and he can get your future children, and he can get your grandkids, and he can get generations to come, and in the end, he'll still get the souls that he wants. Can't have yours, but he'll get others. And so he is a great enemy here. And I want to look at this for just a few minutes this morning on his subtlety. The Bible tells us that Eve was deceived by the subtlety of Satan. He did not just show up in the garden trying to lie to Eve. He didn't just show up trying to say how bad of a God was. And he didn't try to do all those things. He's very subtle. And I want to look at just about three things here that Satan subtly did. And then I want us to look at our lives and see how he could do the same exact thing to us today. Alright, Genesis chapter 2, verse number 16, once again, the Bible said, "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." Alright, look at chapter 3, verse 1. When Satan is asking Eve about what God had said, he leaves out one word. He leaves out a word here. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made." And as soon as the Bible tells us that he's subtle, he immediately reveals how he works through his subtlety. "And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." Say, "Preacher, that's exactly what God said." That is what he said, but he left out a word. He left out one word here, and that is the word freely. So right here from the get-go, when Satan is introduced in the Bible in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, as being a subtle devil here, he leaves out a word freely. You realize this morning that word freely, it is an expression in this passage here. It's an expression of God's grace. It's an expression of God's compassion. It's an expression of God's mercy. It's an expression of the generosity of our God. You say, "What's the big deal, Brother Andrew?" The big deal is that he said, "Of every tree of the garden that's here, thou mayest freely eat." And not only can you have as much as you want, but you can have it whenever you want. So God was telling Adam and Eve, he said, "There's one tree there in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." He said, "You can't have that one. I don't want you to eat of that tree. But hey, any other tree, you can have as much of it as you want, and you can have it whenever you want." So that word freely there, it has the idea in this passage of God's grace and of God's generosity and of God's mercy and his abundance of grace. We can have as much of it as we want. So what's the big deal? Well, the devil wanted to immediately begin to mess with her mind and cause doubt about what God said. One word. Now, there's a whole lot more words that are removed by the devil and things that are changed even in this passage. But the devil has been trying to mess with God's word since the very beginning. Now, Brother Bill Grady's coming. He's going to preach on the preservation of Scripture. I said earlier, I believe the King James Bible is the perfect and errant Word of God. Every word, every jot, every tittle has to be there. It has a place. And if you remove any of it, it changes doctrine. Amen? It changes it. And I want to give you an example of that this morning. So Satan just admitted one word. God promised fruit freely. Satan omitted that word. Turn with me to Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation chapter number 2. Quickly in your Bible, hold your place in Genesis. I should have told you that before you flipped away. You got the first book of the Bible, the last book of the Bible. It is no coincidence. I mean, I'll say that again. It is no coincidence that the very first word that the devil omits in the Bible here when telling it to Eve is one of the last words in most modern translations that's removed. The same exact word. Amen? I don't think that's a coincidence. Do you? I don't think it's a coincidence at all. The devil's been trying to mess with God's word. He's been trying to do it ever so subtly. He's done it. We got the NIV, the Christian Holman Standard Bible. We've got all these other Bibles. They change doctrine. They change words. There's 17 verses completely missing out of the New International Version. Completely gone. You'll have verse number 10 and then verse number 12. 11 is gone. And the devil's so subtle, you see how our Bible, the King James Bible, has verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4. The NIV's not that way. They run all the verses together so you don't even know it's missing. Amen? Matthew chapter 17, verse number 21 said, "This cometh forth but by prayer and fasting." All right? Missing from the NIV. Well, why would that verse be missing? Man, that verse tells me how to get a prayer answered. Ask God and fast. Amen. Missing from the Bible. I think that's the right reference. But there's 17 of them missing. And so every word matters. In the Bible, I believe God preserved His Word. And I've got all kind of verses I can quote on it. I've got all kind of verses I can read. We can study on it. We'll do that sometime as we go through there. But God allowed His Word to be preserved in the English-speaking language. Amen. You know, you realize that English is a worldwide language now? I mean, I went over to Papua New Guinea, over on the backside of nowhere, and in their little school where people are showing up barefoot to come to school, they teach in English. Other countries, in the public schools, they teach in English. They want English teachers. Why? It's become a worldwide language. So God preserved His Word in the English language because that is going to be the universal language. That is right now. Everywhere you go, amen. God preserved it. And God used a man by the name of King James to do it. And that's not a coincidence either. The Bible tells us about a king. Amen. Where the words of the king are, their safety and those things. God used the king to preserve it. And God inspired it. And I believe He did that. And you say, well, I don't believe that He can inspire a book. Well, how in the world can He not keep a book inspired and keep it preserved when that book has never cussed Him, that book has never mocked Him, that book has never stood against Him, that book has never talked back to Him, that book has never hurt anybody, but yet we do every day. Amen? If I don't believe that God can inspire His Word, then I couldn't believe that He saved me. Or I couldn't believe that He keeps me saved. This book never did anything against Him. The Creator of the heaven and earth can speak things into existence. He can preserve a book. But this very first word in the Bible, we find here that the devil decides to omit from his recollection of what God had said is the word freely. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 17. All right? Now, I'm going to read what the NIV says. All right? You follow along with me in your Bible. Revelation 2:17 said, "The Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let the one who hears say, Come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life." Brother Andrew, what's the big deal? I mean, they took out the word freely and they put in free gift. What's the big deal? Free gift is not the same as freely. Those are two different words. Those are two different doctrines. Turn over to Romans chapter 5. What's the big deal, Brother Andrew? Free gift and freely sound the same. They're not. They're two different things. A free gift implies a one-time gift. It implies a one-time gift. The word freely implies an ongoing benefit. An ongoing benefit. Take as much as you want, as often as you want. Romans chapter number 5. We're talking about the subtlety of Satan. And I'm just giving you this illustration, and then I'm going to get into the message here. Romans chapter 5, look at verse number 15. If you're there, say amen. Amen. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. And I'm reading the King James. For through the offense of one, many be dead, but much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of the righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by one, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. What are you trying to say, Brother Andrew? I'm trying to say this morning that salvation was a free gift. It was a one time, amen? It was a free gift. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The day that you got saved, you received that free gift, and it was a one-time thing. You don't ever have to receive that ever again. You're saved. Amen? It's a free gift. But when we talk about the water of life, and we talk about the precious Word of God, and we talk about that book, it's not just a one-time gift. It is a freely, man. We get to partake of that thing every day, all day, as much as we want. When we think about God's grace and God's mercy and God's long-suffering, hey, we can have as much and as much as we want freely. Man, I'm thankful for that this morning. I'm thankful that we can partake of it freely. It's not just a one-time thing. The day I got saved, I got born again, I accepted the free gift, and I thank the Lord for it. But then I got that precious Bible, and I got God's promises, and I've got all these things that I can freely partake of for the rest of my life. And let me help you here. You can have as much or as little as you want. You can have as much or a little bit as you want. Adam and Eve there in the garden could partake of all these trees, except for that one, freely. I mean, they could eat as much as they want, whenever they want. If they wanted the 2 o'clock in the morning apple, they could go get one. Amen? But if it was a free gift, you can't just keep going back to that. Amen? I got an illustration that Brother Bobby probably could relate with. We set up sometimes with these trade shows. We set up a booth and everything and set up with these trade shows for the hospital. And we have a free gift on the table. One free gift on the table. But there's people that come through that take freely. Am I lying? I mean, there's people that show up, they got a bag. And they take and they scrape the stuff off the table into the bag. Amen? Free, take one. But they take freely. That's the difference. Amen? They freely take whatever they want to take and all those kind of things. But I'm here to tell you this morning that I'm thankful salvation is a one-time gift. But the water of life, the precious Bible, man, the Spirit of God is an ongoing benefit that we can have. And the devil tried to change that word. And by removing that one word, Satan began to set up the fall of man by just removing that one word. Go back with me to Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter number 2. Satan omitted just one word from God's offer. And he's been trying to do the same ever since. He's been trying to do the same ever since. He's been trying to mess with God's Word and mess with man's mind. And he's been trying to get that thing all distorted so man doesn't know what salvation is. He doesn't understand how to get saved. He's trying to pervert the whole thing. And I'm telling you today that I'm glad that salvation is a free gift through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't have to do anything. But after salvation, I can freely partake as much of the Word of God as I want to. The Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of God. Amen. You say, what does that mean? Before salvation, you can't understand the book. Before salvation, you can't understand. But after you get saved, you can have as much of it as you want. And thank the Lord for it. Amen. I'm thankful for His precious Word. By removing this one word, Satan began to set up the fall of Adam and Eve. It started right there in the first verse when he opened his mouth. He's been trying to do the same thing ever since. That word that represented God's grace and mercy and love and represented His care, represented all the things of God that we could have freely, He removed. And when He did that, He implied to Eve that God is not all that He claims to be. Brother, do you see all that in that one word being removed? Yeah, I do. Because guess what? He's reminded Eve of what God said, but left out one word. And he's implying that God has not cracked up to be what he says he is. He's beginning to imply that God is not who he claims to be. And then, because he has that set up, in verse number 4, read with me verse 4, chapter 3. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. So because he removes that one word, he begins to cast doubt in her mind about what God really said, about what God really means. And now because of that, he can call God a liar. He begins to cast doubt even more. He begins to cast doubt even more with her. There in verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. You know what he's saying? God said, the day that you eat thereof, ye shall surely die. The devil said, you're not going to die. I'm talking about the subtlety of Satan. The subtlety of Satan. Now, you said when they ate it, they didn't fall over dead. No, but that day they partook of it, they started dying spiritually. Amen. And the dying process began. You see, before this sin, they would have lived forever in a perfect place, in a perfect garden. But because they partook of that, God's word was still true. The dying process began. They ate that fruit and they did die, spiritually speaking, and physically they began to die. But Satan told her that that wasn't the case. That that's not really what God said. And that's exactly what he does in his subtlety. And you know, by her taking that fruit and giving it to her husband that was with her and eating it, she was implying that what God said was not really true. That's a dangerous place, church. You said, why, Brother Andrew? Well, let me try to make a spiritual application of this thing. How many times in your life have you implied that God is not true and that he's lying? So I would never do that, Brother Andrew. What about things like this? That's just your opinion, preacher. Or what about things like this? I just don't see it that way. Or what about things like this? It won't hurt anyone. Amen. What he's saying, I'm talking about the devil's subtle. And he wants to whisper in your ear when the preacher gets up and preaches about how to have a Christian home and how to have love God and how to have a marriage that pleases the Lord. Hey, that's good for you. But I got things worked out myself. Me and God got our own. He said, I would never call God a liar. But when that book gives us instructions on how to have a home that pleases him and how to be faithful to church and not forsake the assembly of ourselves together and how to be faithful to his word and read our Bible and how to love our wife and how to submit to our husband and how to obey our parents and honor them. Hey, when the Bible tells us to do all those things and we decide not to do them, we're implying that God really doesn't know what he's doing. And we're implying that maybe what he said is true. Brother Andrew, I would never say that. What do our actions say?
Amen.
We're talking about him being very, very subtle. Amen. I've opened my Bible before with young men back there in my office about things that they were going through, and I opened my Bible. I didn't say anything. I said, read that verse. They read the verse and immediately said, that's just your opinion. I don't see it that way. I said, I didn't say anything. Well, I know what you're going to say. Oh, you mean I was going to say it's not right for a man to touch a woman when they're not married? Because that's what that says. I didn't say it. That said it.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I just don't see it that way. I don't think that's what that means. Well, what does it mean? What does it mean that it's not right for a man to touch a woman? And we're talking about people that aren't married. It's real quiet in here. I don't know what else that means. I think in the Greek and the Hebrew and everything else, it means that a man's not supposed to touch a woman if they're not married. Amen. Open it up and say, hey, just read it. And I had them read the verse. I said, I don't see it that way. That's your opinion. I didn't say anything. Well, I know what you were going to say. Mm-hmm. All I was going to say is it's not right for a man to touch a woman. That's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
Had a man one time come in. I talked about a man. It is a shame for a man to have long hair. Amen. Brother Lone don't have that problem this morning.
Amen.
It's a shame for a man to have long hair. That's what the Bible says. Well, I don't think that's what that means. I didn't say anything. You know what that is? That's the subtlety of the devil.
Yeah.
Dealing with the heart.
home and marriage and all those things. The Bible is our manual. You understand that? I mean, the Bible's everything. It's our foundation for everything, for all matters of faith and practice is the Word of God. That's our foundation. But the devil wants to try to tell you, he wants to try to deceive you that whatever you're doing is working. Amen? Whatever you're doing is okay. Because Oprah and Dr. Phil and all these people have all their opinions about it. Amen? What does the Word of God say? I know it's quiet and kind of tightened up in here, but that's how Satan began to deceive Eve. It's very subtle. He didn't walk up to Eve and immediately say, hey, God's a liar and he just doesn't want you to have any fun. But that's what he implied when he took out the word freely. And that's what he implied when he said, yea, hath God said. He caused her to doubt it. He caused her to doubt it. That we're going to see this. And I'm telling you this morning that there's so many times in our life that we have implied that God's word is not true by our behavior. I mean, we're supposed to listen to things. We're supposed to behave ourselves in a way that pleases the Lord. The things that are right and pure and just and of good report. The Bible says, think upon these things. But when we go in our car and we turn on the radio station to listen to something different that's not one of those things that pleases the Lord, we're just telling God, Lord, I understand what your book says, but it won't hurt nobody. It does hurt. You came rolling here this morning listening to the country music before you walked through those doors. You've hindered the Spirit of God in this church service. If you went to bed last night watching a movie and praying and watching something ungodly on television before you got up and tried to come to church this morning, you hindered the Spirit of the service already. And that's why there's people up here praying at 7 o'clock at night so we can try to get God in here to overcome whatever bad spirit. Amen. Husband and wife fussing. All those things before they ever darken the doors of the church and come in, it hinders. It does affect everybody around you. And Lord, help us. If you listen to this stuff, you're not supposed to with children in the back seat. I mean, impressionable at such a young age. Hanging on every word. And you say, it don't mean nothing to me. They're listening in the back seat. They listen to everything that goes on. That television show, that movie, oh, it won't hurt nobody. They're listening. And all the devil needs is one phrase to get in their mind and begin to mess with them. He's very subtle. It does matter. It absolutely matters. I can't tell you how many times I've heard it won't hurt anyone. That people in this church tell me about things or certain sins in their life that God's been obviously dealing with them about it. And they say, well, it doesn't hurt anybody else. All sin hurts everyone around you. So, well, it won't physically hurt them. What? It'll break their heart. It'll hurt. When we sin, we are discarding God's Word. We're discarding His nature. We're discarding His Word. We're discarding His truth. The fall of man here was not because of a confused woman. There's Bible commentaries that say that Eve sinned and she partook of it because she was a confused woman. I mean, God Himself gave instructions on what to do, and He is not confusing. The Bible said He's not the author of confusion. And some of those other Bibles, there's mass confusion in them. Do you realize in the NIV, the Bible has more than one guy killing Goliath? That's confusing. So what happened? They removed words. They changed things, and now we don't know who killed. Every child that grew up in church knows who killed Goliath. It was David. But the NIV changes some words up, and now it says that somebody else killed Goliath. Amen? Confusion. That's what the devil wants to do. It's subtle. It's very subtle in how he does things. But Eve was not a confused woman right here. I don't believe it. God said you may eat of every tree freely. The devil comes up and says, did God say you can have all these trees? Yea, hath God said, eat. If you eat this, you're not going to die. I mean, what's confusing about that? Eve had a decision to make. God said, who created me, by the way, Amen. Men, we're nothing but animated dirt balls. God made the man from the dust. We're animated dirt balls. When we work, we sweat. When I get done preaching this morning, I'll have to clean my collar with something because it's going to be brown. Amen? But women, they were not created from the dirt. They were created from the side of man. God was the first anesthesiologist in the Bible. Put Adam to sleep and took out a rib and created woman. Amen? And that's why the women are not like men. I know that. The women are not like men, whoever's watching. Amen? And men, they get out and they work and they dirt and all this thing. And most women, they're not like that. Amen? They're softer. They ought to be softer. Is this okay? I mean, a woman ought to be softer than, you know, if a husband is softer than his wife, that's a problem. Several years ago, we heard a message preaching about real men and all those kind of things. And man, Brother Bowen was texting me about how, you know, putting lotion on your hands. And I went out and I said, I'm going to go out in the driveway and rub my hands and get them raw. I don't want to be a man. I don't want nobody to shake my hand and think I'm soft. Amen. Stop putting lotion on. That's some rough skin. Amen. My wife won't appreciate that either. But you understand what I'm saying? There's more men today are softer than the women. And the women are more brutish. God didn't make him that way. He made man from dirt. And we're a bunch of animated dirt balls. And the devil tried to get in there. And so Eve knew what God had said. But the devil said, that's not really what he meant. You're not going to die. She wasn't confused. And if you've been in church any length of time, and you've been around the preaching of God's word, you're not confused about it. You don't have to pray about what kind of music to listen to. You don't have to pray about being faithful to church. You don't have to pray about loving your wife or submitting. You just need to do it and obey God. No confusion there. Amen. There's folks sometimes they get up and get dressed and they say, well, I don't know if I should wear that. If you ever got to ask, don't do it. You'll be on the safe side by just not doing it. I don't know if I should be listening to this. If you think that, just don't do it. So Satan beguiled Eve. Not confusion. It was a result of Satan beguiling her through his subtlety by questioning God's word and his character by removing a word. And this is exactly what Satan is still doing today to people this very minute, and maybe even in this church. That's exactly what he's doing, trying to get you to doubt the word of God. We've had so many leave us. It breaks my heart. And they walk away. And they know what God says, but they just said, we're not doing it. We're not doing it. Man. And it's sad to see the condition. Maybe some of their children and some of the things and the marriages that have fallen apart. And I'm telling you, God's way is the best way. In my mind, it's the only way, man. There's nothing else. Who else are we going to go to? Thou hast the words of life, Peter said. There's nowhere else to go. Satan's still been trying to do this. He's been trying to cause doubt on God's word. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, you don't have to turn there. The Bible says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. And he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. You have the Holy Spirit of God living in you if you're saved that tells you what's right and wrong. Amen? We have that inside of each one of us. So Satan removes this one word freely. He denies God's word openly. Ye shall not surely die. And look at verse number 5. Look at Satan is now questioning God's intent. He's questioning God's intent. He says there in verse number 5, for God doth know that in the days ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Now the devil is saying that he knows better than God, and the reason God doesn't want you to eat of that tree that he told you not to eat of is because he doesn't want you to be like him and be like God's, knowing good and evil. Exactly what the devil does to us today. He causes us and he causes people to believe that God is not fair. That God is not just. God just doesn't want us to have any fun. And those that have raised teenagers, and I don't have them yet, they're coming up real soon, but I've been around teenagers for several years, been preaching at Teen Challenge, and preaching in some of the juvenile places in prison, and preaching at youth camps every year.
for the last about 15 years. And I'm telling you right now, that's how the devil gets to a lot of families. He puts in the mind of that young person that my parents just don't want me to have any fun. They don't love me. They don't really care about me. Where did that come from? Satan. He did it to Eve. He did it to Eve. He just doesn't want you to be like God's doing good and evil. God really doesn't care about you. God really doesn't want you to be to have a good life. God, he's trying to hold you back. When all God wanted from them is fellowship with them, and He wanted the absolute best for them. And children, I know we got some young ones in here. Your parents love you, and they bring you to a church. Man, they bring you in here to hear the preaching of God's Word. It might not have all the bells and whistles and flashes that the world has to offer. Man, we just can't do all that. But we have the precious Word of God. And if they care enough to make sure you're under the preaching of His Word, you ought to thank God for it. And it's not because they hate you. It's not because they don't want you to have fun. They want you to fall in love with God. And they want you to have a good life. Entertainment of this world and all the bells and whistles and all the flashiness and physical and fleshly entertainment this world has to offer, that is not the best life.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
peace and love and joy and long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness, goodness, all the things that are the fruit of the Spirit. That's what they want for you. Folks that come to our church, they come on purpose. Amen?
Yeah.
There's no accident. If there ever is, they don't come back. I said, why? Because we want God to do something.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't want to have to come visit down in divorce court trying to figure out who's going to get the kids.
Right.
We don't want to go to the funeral home and bury a baby because of sin.
Yeah.
Man, we want God to do something. We want God to bless your home. But the devil is going to tell you, young people, and I know my kids are coming up, and you know what? I believe we have a home that pleases the Lord. We do the best we can for His glory and His honor. But the devil's going to try to eventually tell them, God just doesn't want you to have no fun. Your parents don't really love you. I tell you what the devil's done in their heart and mind. I'm opening some stuff up here. But our church is small. We don't have a lot of kids. And the devil's going to mess with them. Well, all these other churches, they got a lot of kids. Amen. And the devil can begin to cause resentment in their heart towards church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. What do you do, man? We pray for them. We have the devotion. We try to make it fun for them. And thank God. They've been praying. And God sent some other kids. And we keep praying. And I believe God will keep sending some. God will answer their prayers.
Yeah.
I believe He will. And we'll pray too and have faith that God will do it. But the devil puts those little things in there. And he'll do the same thing in the church about a pastor. Well, he just doesn't want us to do that. He just doesn't want us to have no fun. Years ago, there were some ladies talking about doing something at the church, and one of them stood up and said, listen, we might as well not even talk about it. Brother Andrew won't let us do it. And another lady spoke and said, well, I just don't know why not. And she goes, well, you don't know him very well. Amen. But the devil will do stuff like that. Put little seeds of thought. We went out to a youth camp one time and had some folks with us, and there was something going on there that I didn't approve of, and I asked everybody to go in their dorms, and one person stood up and said, no, I'm not going. I don't see anything wrong with it. And kept their children out there and let them participate in it. Amen. The free world, do whatever you want to do. God's not going to bless it, though. The devil will do the same thing in a church. He caused Eve to believe that God, without any just reason, was withholding something good from her. God knows what's best, church. God knows what's best for us. We don't always understand it. We can't always figure it out. It's not always easy, but He knows what's best. And we can look back and say, God, thank you that I obeyed you because you knew what was best. If God told you up front what all you'd have to go through, you probably wouldn't do it. But then you could go through it with His grace and mercy and look back and say, God has been good. The way's been long, the way's been hard, but God's been good.
Yeah.
And maybe through that you'll see some people get saved because of some things you have to endure for just a small period of time. In conclusion, let me say this. Satan caused Eve to forget God's goodness and grace. He caused her to forget that. Forget about the tree of life freely. And he got her attention on the one thing she wasn't allowed to have. and then convinced her that God was lying and God's unfair. He questioned God's word. He caused her to disobey God's word. Look there in verse number 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Satan's subtlety, his plan worked. And every time people walk away from God, and every time they get away from the things of God and what God wants, to get away from their Bible, his plan worked. Every time you turn on the television and let it babysit your children, every time you turn on the music, his plan is working. Bob Jones Sr. said the devil did not tempt Adam and Eve to steal, to lie, to kill, to commit adultery. He tempted them to live independent of God. That was the temptation, to live independent of God. And now we have so-called Christians all over the world this morning, and they're living their life independent of God. I said it in Sunday school. I'll say it again here today. Church should be the excuse to miss everything else. But it's the other way around. There's so many this morning that were not at church because they were out celebrating a holiday that Christians should have nothing to do with. And they didn't show up at church this morning. Amen. Church should be the excuse to miss everything else. I'm sorry, we can't. We got revival. I'm sorry, we can't. We got prayer meeting. I'm sorry, we can't. We got church service. I'm sorry, we can't. We gotta get to Sunday school. We just can't do that. Why? Because we got church. But the devil was successful here in getting Adam and Eve to try to live independent of God. We can't do it. I have to have God. You're the pastor. Oh, no, not just because of that. I got to have God because of my family sitting here. I have to have God for them. I need God because I have lost coworkers that are watching me. I've got family that's watching. We need God. When you decide to do it opposite of this book, the devil gets what he wants. I'll just give you two more things here and I'll be done. D.L. Moody told a story one time of a slave who often complained about his trials and temptations to his unbelieving master. And one day the master asked Sam, "How does it happen, Sam, that you, a Christian, have so many more temptations than I, an unbeliever?" Sam didn't know how to answer that question. One day while they were out hunting together, Sam's master brought down two ducks with a double shot. One fell stone dead and the other had a broken wing. The master told Sam, "Hurry, go into the weeds and get that crippled duck. He's about to get away." And after a difficult chase, Sam finally captured him. When he returned to his master, he had a smile on his face. His master said, "What are you smiling about?" He said, "Master, I can finally answer that question of yours. You see, you were scared for fear that live duck was going to get away. But I noticed you didn't give any trouble to that dead duck. That's the way it is with me. The devil knows you're a dead duck, and he don't bother you. He's got you for sure. He also knows that I'm a live one, and I'm likely to get away. But, Master, that's why he's chasing me so hard." What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying if you don't want to live a Christian life and you don't want to read your Bible and be faithful to church, the devil might leave you alone. He just might. But why? He's happy. Well, you're not going to have a Christian home. You're not going to read your Bible with your wife and pray with her and have devotions. Your children might not be around the presence of God. And God's hand of blessing that we have to have in our life, he might just lift it up and say, "If that's what you want, just do it." But you know who the devil's going to bother? Those ones that are fighting kids, screaming in the pew and aggravating, trying to get to church just so they can have their kids here. Those ones that didn't feel like coming, but they're coming anyway. But those ones that, it's a hassle to try to dress right sometimes. It's a hassle to try to do some of those things, but they're just going to do it anyway. That's who the devil's interested in. Brother Charlie used to always say, "I wouldn't be interested in anything the devil wasn't mad at." Amen. And he's going to be after us, church. But I'm telling you this morning, it is much better serving the Lord Jesus Christ than anything this world has to offer. Amen. The
devil tries to be alluring. He tries to be deceiving. Miss Sarah, would you come to the piano? I'm going to ask her to play a song. Let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. Listen, church, families, I know I give this invitation a lot, but man, we need God. Might be good for some families to come talk to God about their home. Might be good for some husbands, wives, or some children. Some folks may say, hey, listen, I want God in our home, and the devil's so subtle. Lord, would you give us wisdom not to be ignorant of his devices? Maybe there's some things in our home that just aren't right. And we know it. God revealed it to us this morning. Why don't we come talk to him? She begins to play something on the piano. Listen, talk to him. It's not worth it, church. It's not worth it to ignore the Holy Spirit of God. It's not worth it to ignore. The devil's so subtle. There might be some this morning that the devil's already told you, hey, that's good preaching and all, but this isn't for you. Oh my, if he's done that, you're already in trouble. There's some that have come. God spoke to your heart. Would you respond to him this morning and come talk to him? Would you come this morning? There's some more coming. Maybe there's somebody here that's not saved. You've never been born again. The devil wants to convince you that you don't need to be saved. He wants to convince you to wait just a little bit longer. Why don't you come forward and let's take the Bible and show you how to be born again. Hey, how to accept that free gift. And after you accept that free gift, oh my, you can partake of his goodness and grace and mercy freely. You can partake of the Word of God freely, as much and as often as you like. Thank the Lord for the precious Holy Spirit of God. There's many that are praying. Listen, if God spoke to your heart, would you do business with him? Thank the Lord for those that respond to the Lord, his Word, and his preaching. She's playing. You're all on the altar. Sacrifice made. Oh, as you're all on the altar this morning, church, family. Oh, my. Head bowed and eyes closed as God does his work. We're in no hurry.